Mr. Bowles concluded his message last night about reminding us why we were here. We are learning to become teachers. Mr. Armstrong wrote in Mystery of the Ages on page 228 of the Ardbeg copy. It's must be colder in here than I thought. Putting my glasses on, they missed it up immediately. On page 228 of Mystery of the Ages, Mr. Armstrong wrote, second paragraph under the heading, Church, a Teacher's College. And quoting from him, the book, the church was planned to be God's instrumentality for calling predestined human beings out of this world to be trained for positions of leadership in the world tomorrow, when they shall teach and train others. That is why in the New Testament the church is called the first fruits of God's salvation. Some of us would be rather daunting at the idea of standing up and being teachers, but we all teach. Everything we do is an example to people. Our actions teach. Are we doing it God's way, or are we still part of this world? Are we making the right decisions that Mr. Bowles was talking about, or do we continue in the wrong old ways? Our calling also is described by Peter in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. The first epistle recorded by from Peter chapter 2 verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a royal priesthood, training to be priests and kings, a holy nation, and I love this bit in the old King James, a peculiar people. We certainly fit that if we fit nothing else. But apparently that could also be translated a purchased people. Christ paid a huge price for us to have this opportunity. We're a tiny little group here. We're not the only people that God is working with, obviously. We just don't know where everyone else is that he is working with. But we were purchased at a huge price, that we, or you, should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. What do we teach? What are we going to teach? Our life experience now, as we strive to live according to God's way, is what we will teach. We are practicing the way to live. We are practicing making those right choices, those right decisions we were told about last night. We don't just jump in and teach. I've worked with many people who have given me extremely good advice over the years, but they never followed it themselves. When we were told, when the church was breaking up, do not compromise, that was good advice. Unfortunately, the people that said never compromise with God's law forgot their own advice. We have to live it and stick with it. We have the experience as parents of having to train the children. Let's look at that in Deuteronomy 6. This is an instruction to the Old Testament. Talking about being a royal priesthood, there we have the example of the Levites. Physically, the Levites were there to teach. It wasn't just slaughtering animals, lighting fires, carrying wood for the fires. I was practicing that this morning. Deuteronomy went to the wrong reference, of course. First, put your mind in gear. A lesson for today. My wife said that while I was collecting the logs to keep us all warm, my case had been dropped. I also threw away one of my notes, obviously. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. And these words which I command you this day, hear, verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Eternal our God is one Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, everything. And this is what we have to do based on that. And these words which I command you this day, this is the Ten Commandments summed up everything, but much more than just the Ten Commandments. And the duty, verse 7, you shall teach them diligently unto your children. Now in the future, people won't necessarily be children, but they will be like children to us. So what we practice and try to do with our children and grandchildren is an example of what we will be doing in the future. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house. It's not just a formal teaching, lecturing situation like this. Not everyone has the fun of standing here talking to a group of people. That's not a pleasure you all get. I'm sorry. But you still have many opportunities. When you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, on your way to services, on a walk, there is an opportunity to teach, explain, show how we should be living, how to make the right decisions. We have to remember we are to teach God's law. And we teach it not just as contained in the first five books of the law. We teach it on the knowledge of having the spiritual inheritance. It goes far beyond. We were told that all this stuff was thrown away. It was just an interesting story until a new covenant came in and all this was redundant. This isn't redundant. There have been a change of emphasis. Christ's change of emphasis was not to destroy what he gave to the Old Testament people. It was to expand it. Not to diminish it, expand it. It means much more now. It's not just a question of don't kill somebody, don't hate them. The society in which we live, when we have traffic calming measures, this is not easy to practice. We, as a royal priesthood, are not here to be like lawyers nowadays, celebrity lawyers, like Mr. Loophole, who looks at the law, I see, look, there's, yes, well, if we say this, and you didn't actually do it for that reason, you did it for this reason, they'll have to let you off. No, it goes far beyond what just the black and white letter of the law says. It's the attitude of life that we have to bring to it now, and that we have to share that way of life with the people we will teach in the future. Christ came as our example, our pathfinder, to illuminate what this word meant. It's not that we throw this away. This is a starting point from which we go way beyond, fully aware that of ourselves we cannot keep it. We are only able to do this by allowing the Holy Spirit to work through us, and for Christ, our first example, to be living through us. We don't keep the law. Christ keeps the law through us. We are not superb Pharisees who do the odd mandate really well, which then excuses this little peccadillo here or the little peccadillo there, the odd widow's house we acquire on the way, which obviously we need to be just good Christians. Rubbish. Every aspect of our life is a complete package. It's a whole body of law, not just the little bits we would like to keep. We have another example in Deuteronomy 31. Let's get this one done before I run out of time completely. Deuteronomy 31, for our time as well. Deuteronomy 31, starting in verse 9 through to verse 13. Moses wrote this law, God's law. Moses wrote this law and delivered it unto the priests, the sons of Levi, which bear the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant contained this law, written by the very hand of God. It's not redundant. It's not out of date. It's not even worn out. It's brand spanking new now. Bear the Ark of the Covenant, the Eternal, unto all the elders of Israel. Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel is come to appear before the Eternal their God in the place which he shall choose, you shall read this law. It's still relevant before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men, women, children, your strangers that are within your gate, that you may learn, and that they may hear and learn, and fear the Eternal their God, observe to do all the words of this law. And verse 13, and that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear the Eternal your God, as long as you live in the land, whither you go over Jordan to possess it. Every 7 years, the five books were read, or portions of the five books were read, the law were read, so nobody forgot what it was about. This is how we know the mind of God. This is how Mr. Armstrong was able to decide the spiritual heritage that we now have, by what God decided to do in instances, and then carrying that over, not destroying it, not cutting it down, but by taking it further, the logical step on. This is why it was done. Not just, you mustn't do this, or you must do that, but we have to understand why, and to do it, and apply it. Where the law doesn't actually state it, it's not clear to carry on and do what we decide. We don't make our decision, absent from the example that we have from here. The scripture uses many different words for teach, illustrating how to share knowledge. They include words that mean guide, lead, show, example, point the way. There's the instruct, lecture, inspire. There's mentor, encourage, correct, reproof, which is related to sharpening or goad. And there is train, provide opportunity and support, and of course remind. All these different techniques are there. We will need to learn and deploy all of them as appropriate. And hopefully, if we succeed and we are continued to make ourselves usable by God, we, like Paul, will be able to say, be able to say to those we are responsible for, I show unto you a more excellent way.